This is Be Rich Sunday, and it's become one of my favorite days of the entire year because of the amazing generosity that I've seen from our church. You have literally changed thousands of lives and the course of some of our ministry partners' ministry because of your amazing generosity, and we're about to do it all again. But before we do so, I want to tell you why we do Be Rich. And maybe the best way to do that is to start with an instance from Jesus' own life. One afternoon, Jesus is in the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The temple had inner chambers and outer chambers and a sanctuary, and then surrounding the sanctuary were these courtyards. And one of the courtyards was just for men. It was called the men's courtyard. And then there was the women's courtyard that was for... Actually, it was for both women and men, which is why I would have called it maybe the mixed courtyard or just the courtyard. But they didn't ask me. Well, anyway, Jesus is in the women's courtyard near where the Jews would give their offering, which was taken in a very different style than what we do today. Really, up until the birth of America, tithes and offerings were not taken as a part of Christian worship services. Giving would be done either by maybe a tax that the government would impose if they sanctioned a certain faith. Or in other places, a priest would come by your home to collect your tithes and your offerings if you belong to a church. Or in other cases, a person would simply place their gift in an offering box as they would enter a place of worship, which was what was happening here in the temple where Jesus was that day. People, both men and women, were coming to place their offering in one of 13 different offering containers that were set there. These offering containers were not all the same. They may have looked similar, but they were labeled very differently. For there was a container for new shekel dues and old shekel dues, both of which were required of every male person who called himself a good Jew in what we would think of as Israel. But additionally, there were bird offerings in which they would buy turtle doves. And there were young bird offerings where they would buy pigeons with those for a different kind of offering. Wood offerings for the fires that would burn there at the altar. Frankincense incense type offerings. Gold for the mercy seat that was used on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement that our Jewish friends just celebrated last week. And then six more containers just for free will offerings. Now, each container had a minimum amount that you had to put in it. And like for the shekel dues, you had to pay at least one full shekel in order to put your shekel in there. But maybe something quite less for the young bird offerings or for the wood offerings. It just depended. But the smallest amount would always be reserved for the free will offerings. Well, that's the setting for what happened. And Luke and Mark both record this instance from the life of Jesus. Jesus and his disciples, as I said, were in the women's courtyard. And Jesus did something that many people did back then. We are told that he sat down opposite the treasury and he watched the people putting their money into the offering box. Jesus sits down on this short wall that is really near to where these 13 shofar chests are, and they're beautiful boxes. They would have a metal top on them that was kind of shaped like a trumpet, and they would be attached to a wood box. And back then, there was no paper money. Everything was in coins. And so, when somebody threw their money into the offering chest of his or her choice, everyone could hear how much was given. And Jesus sits there with others watching what different people gave. Now, because of what you and I have been taught, that giving is kind of a private matter, we expect Jesus to tell people to disperse it and not worry about what other people are giving. But that's not what he does. Instead, he sits and he watches and he listens. But why? Why does he do this? Is it because he's concerned about the temple making their annual budget? No, that's not it at all. Jesus wasn't worried about that. And he certainly wasn't getting paid by the temple and didn't have anything personally to gain from temple offerings. Well, was he watching and listening to find out who gave what amount? Well, no, that's not it either. He knows everything. And so he knows both what you've given in the past and what you will give in the future. He does not need to watch or listen to find out about amounts. So why does he watch? Well, let's continue on and find out. Here's what Mark tells us. Mark tells us that many rich people put in large sums. For many people, this was a source of pride. The rich would bring their heavy coins, heavy in weight and large in value. And they didn't just place their offerings in the container of their choice, they threw them in. And if you've ever wondered where the science of fundraising began, it might just go back to first century Judaism. I mean, can you imagine kind of the priests and the artisans sitting around saying, well, how can we maximize offerings? And somebody gets an idea. They say, well, what if we have it shaped like a trumpet so that the sound will resound all over the courtyard? The bigger the offering, the bigger the sound. People will give more just to hear the sound. And actually, I'll just have to say, it's a pretty brilliant plan. So all these rich guys are throwing in their money with all their might. Now I can just imagine somebody's kid standing there throwing in coins one by one, listening to each sound while everybody waits behind him. And there is Jesus sitting on the wall watching all of this. But he hasn't seen what he's been waiting there to witness. And then he does. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. Now, in the Greek, the word here for two coins is two lepta. And let me help you understand money back then. Back then, rich people who had vineyards would hire poor, unskilled laborers to work in their vineyards, usually for one denarius a day. One denarius a day was kind of a day's wage, but we're not talking about a denarius. In fact, you can break up a denarius into 64 pieces called kondrates. And so one denarius is 64 kondrates, but we're not talking about kondrates. You could divide a kondrate into two lepta. That is what this widow is giving. She is giving something that would be really, really small. Back then, a denarius may be worth somewhere between $10 and $100. A kondrate then is worth somewhere between 15 cents and $1.50. So these two coins that she's given, less than a dollar. Now, when it comes to where she's going to put her money, her poverty only really gives her one choice, the free will offering chest. And so she put two copper coins in that chest. She didn't throw them in because she wasn't going to impress anyone. She just puts her coins in the chest. And this is what Jesus has been waiting to see. It is the reason why he sat there in the first place. He wanted to see this woman worship God by giving her money, and he is ecstatic. And he gets his disciples, he gets all their attention, and he says to them, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. And I think the disciples are like, what are you talking about, Jesus? I didn't even hear anything. And another disciple is thinking, I think that she just palmed the money. I'm not even sure she dropped anything. She may have given like two pennies. Dude over there wearing the designer tunic dropped in like 50 shekels, like 50 new shekels. Jesus, I think that you've been in the sun for too long. But Jesus had not been in the sun for too long. He is certain about his claim. And in his eyes, she has indeed put in more for the treasury than anyone else. And now he's going to tell us why. For he says, for all of them, they contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, to help us understand what really is a quite powerful truth, let me give you a modern day analogy. Pretend that you need to go to Chicago to visit a dying friend. and a senior manager in your office hears that you have this need, and he says to you, hey, I have like 2 million frequent flyer miles. Let me give you 30,000 of my miles so you can have a seat. And you thank the manager, and the next thing you know, you're actually on a plane to O'Hare. But upon arriving, you discover that you have absolutely no cash, and all of the ATMs are not working. And so you stand out on the train platform wondering how you're going to buy a ticket to get into the city. Now, an airline baggage handler is standing next to you in dirty overalls, and he notices the distressed look on your face, and he asks if you need money for the fare. And embarrassed, you shamefully admit, yes, I need help. And so he hands you $4 out of his pocket, and you thank him, and then you go off to buy your pass for the train. But just as you're about to go through the turnstile, you notice that the worker is walking away, and you run over to catch him, and as you come to him, you ask him, aren't you taking the train too? And he quietly says, I was going to, but now I think I'll catch a ride home with a buddy. He gets off in just a few hours. Now, which person gave you a bigger gift? Your manager, who essentially gave you a $300 flight, or this worker who gave you $4 for the train? Jesus sees a widow, a poor widow. The word poor is attached every time she is mentioned in either Mark or Luke's accounts. Jesus sees this poor widow give her last two coins to God, and it means the world to him. He is just so proud of her because she has acted in faith to truly trust God with everything that she has. Maybe she could have bought a piece of bread to eat with that money. Maybe she could have saved up for something later on that week, but that's not what she does. Instead, she gives everything. It is the proportion of her gift that makes all the difference. You see, in God's eyes, it's not always the amount on the check. It's what that amount represents. Is your giving just something you do out of habit? Or is it you're giving a sign of appreciation, deep appreciation and gratitude? You see, what your giving represents to you is what makes the difference in God's eyes. And yet, we can be derailed from giving generously to God because of greed. It's a sin that many of us struggle with, but that nobody ever admits. Tim Keller writes, but nobody thinks that they are greedy. As a pastor, I've had people come to me to confess that they struggle with almost every kind of sin. Almost. I cannot recall anyone ever coming to me and saying, I spend too much money on myself. He goes on to say, Jesus warns people more often about greed than he does about sex, but nobody thinks that they're guilty about greed. He writes, if you find yourself in bed with someone who's not your spouse, you know it. You don't say halfway through, hey, you know what? This might be adultery. You know it. But in a world filled with greed and materialism, almost none of us think that it's true of us. We live in denial. And so here is this poor widow who somehow isn't fixated on money or greed. And how is that? She could easily fix her attention on money just trying to make it through life. Many people do, both poor and rich. And yet somehow, that's not her life. She's not greedy. You see, greed is the love of money, but it's not just that. It's to fixate your attention on money. Greed holds our attention, stealing it away from God, distracting us from the reality that He really can supply us with everything that we need today. And the only antidote I know for greed is radical generosity. It's amazing. The more you give, the less you fixate on and worry about money. It's counterintuitive, but it works. And Jesus is the ultimate model of this principle. Let us join with the author of the book of Hebrews in looking to Jesus. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus gave everything, even his life. And do you know why he did it? He did it for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Do you know what that joy is? Is it more glory? No, he is perfectly full of glory from the foundation of the world. Was he doing it to please his heavenly Father? No, the heavenly Father was already perfectly pleased with him. So what is this joy that was set before him? Do you know what it is? It's you. It's you. The joy that was set before him is the forgiveness of your sins. It's the ability for you to be adopted into his forever family. That was the joy that was set before him. And in thinking about that joy, he considered you worth giving it all. He died so that you can live. He was excluded so that we might be included. He emptied himself so that we might be full. He gave himself so that we might receive. Now let's go back to our text. Going back to our text today. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. Now here, every single English translator that I can think of has really weakened Jesus' statement. For it doesn't say she gave everything she had, all that she had to live on. Here's a much better translation. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had and her life. The word there is bios, bios life. She put her life in God's hands, and she trusted him for everything. Therefore, she put no limits on what God could request of her. How could she do that? Because that's exactly what God would do for her in Jesus. Because God valued her so much, she knew that she would be taken care of. After all, if he's already given you his one and only son, do you really think he's going to hold out on much smaller things? Hers was a life of adventure and freedom. To rely on God like that and to see him come through time and time and time again. Can you imagine the type of faith that she must have developed? Can you imagine how real God was in her day-to-day life? That, friends, that is the type of adventure that God wants for us to be on. And so it is that 1 week a year, we do this really tacky thing where we take up a second offering, and I don't apologize for it at all, because every cent that you give to Be Rich leaves Crestwood's doors. We don't hang on to one penny. And during the next couple weeks, you're going to bless three of our partner organizations in amazing ways that they don't anticipate at all. For none of these organizations ask to be part of this offering, and none of them know that it's coming. But over the course of the past year, we've been asking partner organizations questions like, well, what would it really take for y'all to get to the next level? Or what's a need that you have that's crippling right now? And we've listened and we've prayed. And this year, if y'all come through the way that I think that you will, then we will raise more than $60,000 this week and bless one local organization and two international partners. The local organization is Young Lives of Metro Richmond. I love them. Young Lives is the ministry of young life for teen mothers. When this group meets, the moms bring their babies, and they are given practical helps in parenting and invaluable friendships at a time when many feel ostracized. They also received the life-changing message of Jesus. Now, the catch is that many of these moms lack transportation. And so the Young Life staff worker picks them up in her sedan. And as you can imagine, by the time that you get one mom and one baby and a car seat into her car, it's full. And so the time that it takes for her to do all the pickups and drop-offs ends up eating all their time together. And so we had an idea. What if they had a 12-passenger transit van like this one? It would be a total game changer. They could pick up like 6 moms and babies all at once. And if y'all give the way that I believe that you can, then you will change many young lives. Because we will buy them a late model transit van. We'll pay for the next 2 years worth of insurance for them and give them a little stipend for maintenance. That's project number one. Project number two is really our first repeat project in the history of Be Rich. We are looking to partner with one of our ministries called PARS. PARS trains pastors for work in Iran. You might not know this, but Iran is the country in the world where the church is growing the fastest. In fact, a recent study said there's now more than 1 million Christians in Iran. That would have been unthinkable just a decade ago, but God is on the move. Now, PARS can't train pastors in the country of Iran because they would be arrested or worse. And so they train them in Turkey and in London. And for $2,500, they can give theological training and practical training to a pastor. And last year, you made it possible for 6 pastors to be trained. The leader of the organization, PARS, found me at a conference last year. She kind of hunted me down to thank me because what she knew is that Crestwood's gift was the largest gift from any eco church in the nation. So project number two is PARS. Project number three is in India with Inspire International. One of the things that we know is that India has the second largest number of cases of COVID of any country in the world. And so many factories there are shut down, and because there is overwhelming poverty and many people live hand to mouth, many people are starving to death. And so our friends at Inspire have figured out how to feed people. In fact, they've done a remarkable thing. They can now feed a family for $1 a day. That is a whole family eating for $1 a day. Now, it's not much of a meal. It's some rice. It's some lentils for protein. And it's also a little bit of spice to give some flavor. But it keeps those families alive. And so if we could raise like $15,000 for them, it would mean that 300 families could eat for the next 50 days. That would be remarkable. Well, those are the three projects. Now let me talk to you about how to give. My very favorite way for you to give is through Venmo. You simply find Venmo, and then hit the icon, find us as an organization. We are My Giving at Crestwood Church. And it has our logo there. Type in what it's for. In this case, we are giving to Be Rich. Put in whatever amount you deem appropriate. And then you have the opportunity to make it either public or, in this case, private. Then just hit pay, and you can confirm it right there. You're ready to go. Now, a second way to give is through our website. You simply go to crestwoodrva.org. And then go to our Give page, and there you'll find instructions on how to give electronically right there. Or if you're more of kind of a check-in-the-mailbox type of person, then do that. Do that. But do it soon. Do it today or early this week, because we only keep Be Rich open for 8 days, now through next Sunday. Now, how much should you give? Well, please, do not give until it hurts. That's actually terrible theology. Instead, I want you to give until it begins to feel really good. This year, Grace and I are giving $100 for every person in our house, remembering that, we do have 5 children. And maybe you should give more than we do, or maybe you should give less. For us, that amount represents moving the dial some in our spending, because there's a few things that we won't do because of this offering. But it just seems like the better adventure. And I don't think that God is going to let us go broke because we gave too much, right? Now, for some of you, I think the number might be considerably higher, maybe $5,000 or even $10,000. For some people, it's going to be quite a bit less. My only request is that you give in light of what God has already given to you. One of my goals for Be Rich is that we would all give something, that we would have 100% participation. And once again, we give away 100% of the money that we raise. So let me give you three reasons to give to Be Rich. Reason number one is that in 2020, so much has gone wrong in the world, and this is something that is going right with the world. Don't you want to be a part of something really good here in 2020? Well, that's reason number one. Reason number two is that these three organizations will bless countless lives because of your generosity. And when you think about kind of the return on investment, it's hard for me to think about any possible investment with a better return than Be Rich. And the third and greatest reason is give because Jesus gave. Become a little bit more like him. Rescue your heart from greed. Find freedom in imitating Christ. And that will transform you and honor him. Now, as I said, to fully fund these three projects, it will take a little bit over $60,000. Now, last year, I put a goal in front of you, and you blew right past it and made our session have to work really hard to expand our projects. Make us work like that again. Now, friends, let the adventure begin. Father, I pray that you would help us to be generous as you are generous. Rescue us from greed that would try to captivate our heart but only lead to emptiness. Free us for service. Free us for that adventure. Free us for knowing how you really can provide for us every single day. I pray that you would challenge us to grow more and more generous because that's what we see in Jesus. For he is our hope. He is our Savior. He is our joy. So help for our giving reflect that. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here as we begin our Be Rich offering. I pray that you'll just have a good conversation with your family about the right way for you to participate in this offering. Let's be generous. Let's practice being great rich people as part of Be Rich. You can give via Venmo, through the Give page on our website, or simply putting a check in the mail over the next few days right here to Crestwood. Either one of our addresses would be great. And as you go forth, I pray that the adventure would continue for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.